Welcome to episode 15 of the Tech Bubble. I'm your host, Ian Williamson, and today we have a special audio. Yes, we've gone old school. A special audio-only episode brought to you in conjunction with both the Diversity Council and the DLC.
Hi, everyone. This is Chloe Jazzy Lau, co-host of the Tech Bubble, and I'm so excited to see some continued synergy between our various councils and initiatives across SIS. Much like episode 12, for those of you listeners that might remember when we had reps from the Sustainability Council join us, today we're going to be thinking about the crucial idea of diversity, equity, and inclusion, something really important that has been spoken about increasingly in the South Island community, and more specifically of the issue of body image and how exactly this connects with technology and social media. This episode will be aired during Internet Safety Week in February, and our guests will be preparing some exciting teaching resources to complement this discussion.
Very cool and absolutely great that these resources are getting created for us, Chloe. We need to do this a bit more often, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, then, we better get started. So first up, it's a great pleasure to welcome Suyun Lee from 12N1. She is the founder of the Body Positivity Club. It was Suyun who first emailed me to conduct this special episode of the Tech Bubble. So she really deserves some kudos for her proactive and innovative approach to this very important initiative. Welcome, Suyun.
Hi, everyone. I'm Suyun, the founder of Body Positivity Club. Thanks for having me. Regarding our topic of body image, I strongly believe that it is very important to raise awareness on body positivity and the impacts of social media on body image, as well how it affects our well-being. Especially with today's society, social media can have a negative influence on each individual, no matter the gender, as we are constantly surrounded by images that can often convey false messages, such as idealized images. This, as a result, does not only affect our well-being, but also how we perceive our own image. As a group, we hope to not only raise awareness on the negative impact of body image, but also to support the South Island community as well as spreading positivity. Throughout the year, we aim to host events raising awareness on body image, which is coming up in March, hopefully to be in person, and to continue spreading positivity throughout the South Island community. Thank you.
We're so excited to have you here. Thanks. For bringing this conversation to our community. I think it's about time that we had somebody using the Tech Bubble to plug their initiatives and some of these very important headline topics to be talking about. So great to hear about the important work that you guys have been doing in this area, and we're really excited to hear from you further during today's episode. Next up, we are joined by Larissa Lai from 12C2. We are particularly indebted to Larissa, and she'll also edit this episode of the Tech Bubble for us. Thank you. Welcome and thanks in advance, Larissa.
Hello, everyone. I'm the co-founder of the Body Positivity Club. Thank you for inviting me onto the show today. For me, it is important to discuss the prominent issue of the negative impact social media may bring to students' mental health. My team and I have initiated a Body Positivity Club where we aim to spread body positivity. We strongly believe that this issue is well deserving of recognition and care, as we notice that this problem has become increasingly common. Therefore, our initiative aims to mitigate this stigma, especially towards the younger year groups, as we hope for children to embrace the practice of body positivity from a young age. We can achieve this by constructing a body positivity week, consisting of a variety of fun activities that permit students the opportunity to showcase their talents in various fields. Not only do we provide support for students within the South Island community, we're also open and fully supportive of the staff and other members in school. Apart from school activities, we also set up an Instagram account called @https.bodyfirst to raise awareness of this issue to a wider community. Despite of the fact that social media platforms are one of the key starting points for people's insecurities, I strongly believe that we can exploit this to our own advantage and to use this platform to support self-growth. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Larissa. And I mean, really such an important issue for us to address. And I have to say, it was great to see you attempt to engage, you know, with the entire school community and not just the students. Chloe, Larissa is one actually of our IB film students. Now, viewers, This was a pathway that Chloe could have taken. And for our regular listeners, you know already what a tragic decision that was. But I guess we shouldn't dwell on such things. So next up, it's a great pleasure to welcome our third guest and fellow member of the Body Positivity Club. We are delighted to welcome Yvonne Lee from 12C1.
Hi, everyone. It is an honor to be speaking about our Body Positivity Club on this incredible platform. So adding on to what Seon and Larissa have already said about the influence social media has on the whole topic of body image, I think it's very important to separate social media from reality. And I know a lot of younger girls and boys tend to compare themselves to images that they see on social media. And believe me, I do too. And subsequently understand how unconsciously it is easy to fall into this trap. We see these idealized perfect bodies as social media portrays certain bodies and diets as more attractive. But these tend to create unrealistic ideals based on what we see, which could lead to a lot of unnecessary distress when we aren't able to mirror the look we see in the media. In reality, behind those well-posed pictures are tons of editing, camera positioning, lighting, etc. to be able to achieve these ideal bodies. And just to be clear on our position, we're not shaming anyone who photoshops their pictures. Personally, I think it's a great way to help you feel more confident in some cases. However, when the user habitually creates unrealistic body images, that is where an ethical line has been crossed. This also encourages the objectification of bodies, whereby they are routinely observed on social media and viewed as objects, rather than seeing the entire human and the person within the body.
Wow, very interesting. Thank you. Mr. Williamson, these guests are very prepared. I don't think we have to rack our brains for any more questions. They've seemed to have generated a lot of momentum right off the bat, and I really commend you all for the work you've been doing with the Body Positivity Club, so pat on the back. Before we get to respond to the many fascinating points already raised, it is a great pleasure to welcome our final guest, last but not least, Minji Kim from 12N2. Minji is one of the Namas house captains, and according to Mr. Williamson, joins his tutor group 7N1 every week, ready to share some pearls of wisdom. She is an outstanding role model to younger students, and we're so excited to have her join the tech bubble today. Welcome, Minji.
Hi, everyone. My name is Minji Kim, and I'm privileged to be in this position with our tremendous hosts and my club members, where I can spread more awareness about this global issue. I really think that this is an important topic to discuss, especially when it comes to technology, and has been stated by others, this use of social media. I know most of our students at South Island use social media platforms such as Instagram, Snapchat, etc., even though my vertical tuties don't really seem to use them yet. However, referring to Yvonne's intro, I mean, it's not that the use of social media itself is negative. In fact, it may sometimes give students a positive influence on body image. For example, it can help individuals become more accepting and appreciative of their bodies, and in doing so, well-being. However, my sense is that prolonged use of social media leads to dissatisfaction with our body image. Therefore, I want to give some advice and some ways for these individuals who are negatively influenced by social media. One of them is to unfollow accounts that promote unrealistic body types. Two, follow accounts that promote body positivity and healthy living. Three, remove negative thoughts and think positively through working out or like meditating or etc.
Thanks, Minji. Three very sensible tips to get started and a perfectly timed given the impending Internet Safety Week. I agree with Chloe. I don't actually think that we've ever had so much ammunition given to us just through the introduction from our four guests. So thanks to all of you for such frank and powerful statements, which certainly informs our listeners about your collective position on body image. Okay, so let's get into this. I guess Suyin, probably maybe the best place to start is with you. Given that you're the founder of the Body Positivity Club, where do you stand on the kind of idealized image mentioned by Yvonne and which we see circulated by social media? And I'm curious, can you tell me also when you came up with the idea for the club and how it was formed?
My main inspiration for advocating body image began towards the end of year 11, and more specifically the Stepping Up program, which happened in June. This has inspired me to raise awareness on body image and spread positivity, as well as after researching the topic, I realize that body image is a huge issue in our society, and social media plays a big part in that process as well. Therefore, I wanted to be able to form a team and an initiative to further advocate and educate on this issue. In addition, we had the NGO Body Banter that came to South Island and presented on the impact of body image, which has also further inspired me to take action forming the club. If I could refer back to the point Yvonne made, I also agree with her description of the idealized images, as people often compare themselves to what they see in social media. Therefore, I believe that it's significant for us to realize there's no such thing as a perfect body image. Rather, we do need to understand that everyone has their own unique body style. Without photoshopping and editing, which shows only an idealized image, I believe this could further enhance the positivity of body image as well as further inspiring others with stories.
Thanks, Suyun. I mean, I'm interested to know, this could be from any of the four of you, but would you say that you are collectively advocating against the use of Photoshop and other editing applications? And by the way, dear viewer, you may hear a little bit of drilling from time to time. The usual situation of trying to record a show in lockdown in Hong Kong. I think we've been here before, haven't we, in 2020? So it just adds to the ambience, and one of the reasons why I'm shouting over the said drilling. So do any of you feel as though that, you know, you're advocating against Photoshop as a whole and other editing apps? What are your thoughts on that?
Regarding your point, we not necessarily just advocate against the use of it, but I think we need to recognize when someone is in fact confident about their bodies, and I think that's a great thing. I think that's what everyone should achieve towards, and in which case people have a right to circulate images of themselves on social media. Not everything on social media should be deemed negative, and in fact can be a tool for positivity if used correctly, which can be very uplifting and empowering, to say the least.
Also, going back to your question, Photoshop and editing apps can sometimes create an idealized image, which can affect body image as well. However, our advocating on the issue of people comparing their body to others often influenced by social media. But I do take the point made earlier that people that are confident in their own body image may be able to inspire others as well as motivating.
That's a really interesting point you bring up. I think throughout this episode so far, you guys have talked a lot about, even though Instagram seems to be the root source of a lot of these negative body image issues, it can also be used as a source of empowerment, and it can be a positive source of influence on young people. So Yvonne, can you give us any examples of where you've seen, in your own words, positive, uplifting and empowering examples of social media use? Maybe you know some influencers or fitness gurus on Instagram that embody this cause.
There are actually quite a number of positive social media profiles which promote like healthy living, healthy body image, etc. And as Seon mentioned before, the NGO Body Banter, which we have worked with before, they have an Instagram account which is @BodyBanter, which I think is a very body inclusive and also promotes healthy living. And another account that I personally follow on Instagram is This Body Is Not an Apology. And these accounts always tend to have an incredibly healthy and positive atmosphere where everyone just feels comfortable sharing their insecurities or just talking about body image in general. And these accounts also tend to show the unfiltered content when one isn't excessively posing or editing or dieting in order to achieve their so-called desired bodies. And they show the beauty of normal bodies and human bodies, and that each one is unique and individual, and which is pretty uplifting and empowering, especially for anyone struggling with body image. And I really highly recommend following some of the accounts which have just such a positive influence on the topic, as Minji has previously mentioned.
It's a really interesting, I suppose, area for us in the DLC at the moment. I mean, we were talking before the show started about the relevance of Instagram as a platform. I mean, I think it's certainly one of the more popular platforms in school. It's described by the Center for Humane Technology as a toxic application, and that's partly to do with, you know, the ownership and the attitudes, the very sort of, I suppose, capitalist drivers that sit behind applications of that kind. But it's interesting to hear you all talking about how it could be used more positively. I think that's something that we as a DLC may well come back to. Suyin, I think that you maybe had something to say in response to Yvonne's points.
Really relating back to Yvonne's point, I agree. Instagram such as BodyPander and This Body Is Not an Apology on Instagram is a very positive community. They have posted varieties of Instagram posts that's raising and educating on the body image. And I feel that with these, we can continue to be able to bring out the positive and empowering use of social media and to inspire others as well.
I think it's really interesting that you guys, again, are taking this very positive approach to social media. But also recently, to our listeners, you may have heard us talk a lot about Facebook files. And even beyond the subject of Photoshopping and editing apps, the recent revelation of these files and these studies have been that even appearances of posts from fitness influencers and models that are not as augmented or edited, but are just there to serve a purpose of these are what these platforms are here for, and they're simply showcasing their lifestyles. Even these posts can have a very significant impact on body image, as you all alluded to previously. So in 2018, just for a bit of research, Facebook conducted a series of studies on the effect that Instagram has on mental health. And they asked questions in their surveys like, when did these feelings of insecurity begin on Instagram? And at which point did you realize Instagram was harming your mental health? And as we all are expecting, no surprise there, the study found out that Instagram does exacerbate social comparison and issues with body image, especially because Instagram's feeds are curated and posts come up according to what you normally look at. So the more of these posts you look at, the more they get circulated around Instagram and the more exposure you get to them. So what are some things you think social media platforms can do to address the problem of body image, and how can these social media teams come together after these revelations of the Facebook files to say, okay, here's what we're going to do to target the root of the problem and to ensure that no other young person has to go through this vicious cycle again?
Well, I think that social media can further raise awareness and to post inspiring stories and to further support each other. I've noticed through each social media platform, there are people that post inspiring stories and quotes, and it often leads to positive thinking.
I think, you know, Minji, just in response to that, I mean, you know, the DLC, we've talked quite a bit about these issues. And I think that there is something fundamentally wrong with the business model that sits behind, you know, these kind of applications. I mean, you know, there is the Social Dilemma film demonstrates this in quite a bit of detail. And we've talked quite a bit about that documentary, you know, as part of the Tech Bubble. But just to sort of remind people to keep coming back time and time again, the model requires the application, whether it's good for them or not. So when ultimately, you know, profit is the underlying driving force behind these applications, I think that you're always going to have problems because the applications are not necessarily being set up, you know, caring about well-being, caring about mental health. Body image issues, if they sell, if they're garnering interest and engagement, are going to rocket through the algorithms, and you're going to continue to have negativity.
I think increasingly as a school community, we've really got to try
and make people aware of these things. And then it becomes about taking social action and going back to what you said before, using social media in a positive way to try and, you know, advocate change and demand that of these tech giants. You know, like Instagram, for instance.
And I think what's really interesting about the revelations in the Social Dilemma is a lot of the creators of these applications, or even, for example, the person that made the like button, they didn't realize how significant of an impact this would have on mental health and teenage mental health, particularly when they were creating this, because to them, it was something in a vacuum. Until an application or a piece of the application is put out into the world and you can actually see the data and statistics generated and the impact of that specific tool in isolation, it doesn't really mean anything. It's only a series of algorithms and code until it's actually put to use. So I think what's been really interesting is seeing companies come up with new positions like chief purpose officer or chief social good officer. And I think that goes back to the point Mr. Williamson was talking about with the fundamental problem of the corporate business model being that it's always profit driven and they're always looking to increase engagement. And I feel like having even minor positions like this being woven into the fabric will really generate some conversation and change when these apps and platforms are putting in new tools to improve their platforms. So going off of that, I think especially in this conversation of body positivity, we tend to center the movement around teenage girls. And this theme is pretty predominant. If you look at any promo material, they usually have language and imagery that is very geared specifically towards teenage girls. And the Facebook files also references very specifically the impact of Instagram on teenage girls. Although, as you guys have mentioned, you know, the focus is called for because statistically, teenage girls do have a higher rate of eating disorder diagnosis and higher rates of depression and anxiety due to these platforms. But I think it's equally important to think more expansively about this movement and dig deeper into the stories and statistics that might show the impact of body image on non-binary, transgender youth, the LGBTQ community, teenage boys, et cetera. So going back to you guys, Larissa, maybe you can take this question. How do you think the body positivity movement can grow and evolve to become more inclusive of different perspectives from various demographics of teenagers?
So for me, I think what a lot of people tend to think about when they hear of the body positivity movement is the unrealistic beauty standards women are compelled to adhere to. However, we do need to understand the origin point of this movement, that is to have assertion of our own image, whether if it's innate or physical. Essentially, the main idea it aims to send across is to love and tolerate ourselves, including our imperfections, no matter what. Fast forward to the present day, the LGBTQ community is more recognized around the globe and has received more acceptance. Along with the help of initiatives and organizations, I believe this can provide the opportunity to help and connect with a wide range of communities, building a more diverse and inclusive community.
I think it's also interesting to see more influencers actually come out. You guys mentioned the impact of having these accounts and body positivity influencers and more influencers that are coming out as LGBTQ and are actively promoting their platform as safe spaces for LGBTQ youth to have positive body image. So I think increasingly we're looking at this trend where more public figures are speaking up and stepping into this community of advocacy.
I think that's really interesting, Chloe. The influences that you're talking about there, it makes me think that, and this is not just something I think that the DLC needs to be responsible for, but I think several of the councils in school could be celebrating sort of representational discourse, which they feel is kind of aspirational. And some of the positivity that has been discussed by you know, several of our guests today. I suppose moving on, it's also, it's, you know, listening to the views on this issue, particularly, you know, given that the DLC is approaching Internet Safety Week and therefore reminds our community that much of what we see online is not real. And I think that's so important to reinforce. And we're not just talking here about fake news, which, you know, we've discussed at length on the show before, but rather the kind of manipulated reality that we see via the media. So, for instance, in media in year nine, we look at the prominent media feminist Jean Kilbourne, who made the documentary film Killing Us Softly. And she uses the example of Kate Winslet. And Winslet said of a front page image of her on GQ magazine, "I don't look like that, and I don't desire to look like that." And this after they'd reduced the size of her legs, her hips, etc., via, you know, image manipulation techniques. And in fact, in the DLC, you know, we want to help promote a campaign from the Center for Humane Technology, which asks young people to imagine the social media landscape that they want to see in the future. So we always like to ask a question before we finish the show, where we get a response from each of you.
So I want you to imagine that we've fast forwarded to the year 2040. Okay, so that's what, 18 years away from where we are at the moment. My question is this: how would you like to see the world of social media change?
For me, fast forward to the year 2040, I would hope to see more people recognize the great influence social media wields and to learn how to use this as a device to raise awareness for issues of global significance. Although that's not to disparage the entertainment industry and influencers, but I hope to see more influencers use their platform to promote global issues like climate change, refugees, poverty, etc. In other words, by building a strong, positive community in social media, it can help us to overcome global issues as a community.
Excellent. I'd love to see that too. Real issues, in other words, rather than the sort of world of the hyper-real. Minji, on to you.
For me, in the future, I would like to see social media to be a platform where it gives more positive influence to diverse individuals, and to be somewhere where love and belonging is actually promoted and where everyone is reinforcing each other. I hope that it could be a platform not only to entertain by pressing like buttons or commenting on people's posts, but also to be used to further raise awareness about different global issues, like what Larissa said, that are currently going on.
Thank you very much, Minji. Maybe I'll get you to do a presentation for my tutor group on that. Sounds like something I'd like to see happen. Yvonne.
So similarly, I would like to see social media transform into a platform where self-love is promoted and where everyone is supportive of each other. And it might be a reach, but I hope social media becomes a place where everyone can be the best version of themselves and share their stories with each other without the fear of being judged.
And that really requires a sense of empathy, doesn't it, Yvonne, where, you know, if the drivers are not about profit and those who are shouting the loudest in social media are not therefore being driven up so that, you know, we're seeing them on our feeds all the time, then I think it enables us to perhaps reach across the political divide, for instance, which is a major issue around the world at the moment, and to understand each other's positions. Because I think at the end of the day, we're all human beings. We all have the same challenges, and particularly at the moment, given the challenge, the existential threats that we face as a species, and there's got to be more of a will to reach across the aisle to one another, I think. Thanks for that, Yvonne. And Suyun, it seems quite apt that as the founder of the Body Positivity Club that we give you the last word.
I would also like social media to not only become a positive and powerful community, but also to be able to inspire and motivate others as well. I do hope in the future that the community will be more helpful towards one another and even to become more relatable, as this would help us to empathize and support with one another. Also, going back to Minji Lewis's point, I also do hope that diversity and further global issues can further be enhanced through the community to create a positive impact towards each other, and to know that they are not only struggling alone through the inspiring accounts, such as Body Banter mentioned above.
Lovely sentiments. And let's hope that by the time that we get to 2040, at least some of that has come to fruition. Chloe, anything that you'd like to say before we finish? It seems as though we've really encapsulated a lot in a very short period of time there.
Yeah, I just wanted to say big kudos to all of you for, again, starting this club and jumpstarting this conversation at school. I feel like it's particularly important, especially for the younger students, the Bohemia students that are stepping into this world of social media for the first time, to have these sentiments and awareness being spread around the school. So thank you all for the great work you've been doing.
You know, it reminded me that we have an activity for Internet Safety Week with our year 13s. Where we ask the students, what would you like to have been taught about kind of, you know, digital literacy and digital citizenship issues when you first came into the school? And we get that advice, and then we give the year 13s advice to the year 7s. And I think that the issues that you've raised today, the four of you, are all crucial. I think that, as Chloe has just said, if we can socialize those students into good habits with social media from an early age, that we are almost certainly going to be building the platform for a better society. Anyway, unbelievably, that is all we've got time for today. I'd like to thank Suyun, Larissa, Yvonne, and Minji for their excellent contributions, as well as my co-host, Chloe Jazzy Lau. We'll be back soon, later in the term, with more, and hopefully, in a face-to-face environment rather than online, but we shall see, with more tech-related content. So stay safe wherever you're listening to the show.
In the meantime, as ever, we would love to hear your thoughts on the show, listeners. So what would you like us to discuss? What is topical? What do you want to hear us talk about? If you have any ideas, questions, or feedback, then please write to digileaders@webmail.sis.edu.hk. Again, that's DIGI Leaders. As always, thanks for listening.